Actually, you can start whenever you want.
Inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا كريم رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله we're here in our final session of our Quranic Gems class if you will or discourse, if you will. And alhamdulillah, it's been a great journey so far, going over different highlighted verses of the Quran and trying to do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do and ordered us to do, and that is to tadabbur al-Quran, to ponder and contemplate over these verses of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator, has sent down to us. So we can, inshallah ta'ala, ponder on it, and more importantly, apply it to our life. And we know that all of us, alhamdulillah, has been reading a lot of Quran this month. We're coming towards the end, you know, last couple of days here. And so we'll be going over a couple other verses here tonight and trying to, inshallah, to other benefit as much as possible. So today we're going to be going over Juz 21 to 27 and trying to highlight some verses from there to see, inshallah, ta'ala, how can we benefit and how we could, inshallah, ta'ala, reap some of the lessons of the beautiful Quran. So I'm going to put here my the presentation up, and hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, all of you can see that. And I will move this box up here. So once again, Juz 21 to Juz 27. Always, as I always mentioned, there are multiple verses and multiple surahs to cover. You know, there's like, you know, seven ajza of the Quran there, and each juz of the Quran is roughly around 20 pages. So, you know, 7 times 20 is 140 pages of Quran. And so there's a lot to cover. So it's always very hard to try to incorporate all the verses that we could, you know, highlight and go over. So here's some selected verses that I wanted to go over. So let's start with chapter number 31, and that is Surah Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his individual name, Luqman, alayhi salam. He's not a prophet, but one of a righteous person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided and blessed with a lot of things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes over his life in the surah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also goes over some great advice he gives to his own son. And anytime there's an aqiqah or anytime event of a newborn, people turn to this surah because there's some great parenting advice that you could take from Luqman alayhi salam as he's speaking to his own son. So one thing, that the first thing that he actually mentions to his son that's mentioned in the surah here, and I didn't highlight the verse here, but that is to not associate anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not worship anyone else, only worship Allah. Okay, it's good to teach your kids, you know, different things, you know, about, you know, cartoon characters and, you know, basketball and t-ball and martial arts and all that stuff. That's great to make your child, you know, overall a good functioning individual and understand these soft skills and other things. But first thing he tells them is that who Allah is. Now, for a child, it's kind of hard to maybe understand who Allah is. But actually, you know what I like to argue that is that that most kids, if you tell them, you know, Allah created this and Allah created that, you know, somehow they understand that, right? It's something that's in their nature. They might ask, where is Allah, right? Who is Allah? How can we see Allah? These questions might show up and might be brought up, if you will. But at least I know from my own experience and teaching my kids is that, you know, it's kind of human nature. I just kind of told them that, you know, Allah created this. Allah wants you to do good. And they kind of just bob their head. They understand there's a creator, subhanAllah. Maybe it's just the nature. But also one thing is that we need to teach our kids is some of the advice that Luqman alayhi salam mentions right here, where he mentions, he says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, where Luqman says, Ya bunayya aqimus salata wa'mur bil ma'rufi wanha anil munkari wasbir ala ma asabak inna dhalika min azmil umur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a dialogue of Luqman alayhi salam after he tells his son not to worship anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, oh my son, establish prayer. That is a fundamental of, you know, the background, the foundation of our religion is salah. Right? Amongst any other things, that salah is the foundation, like, you know, the crux of it when it comes down to who a Muslim is, right? And so he tells them to make sure that you establish your salah. And for kids, obviously, that takes a lot of training. And that's something that we all should be doing as parents ever since, you know, the child is very small, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, right? You could tell them to sit, stand next to you. And I know I have small kids too. They might start off standing next to you, and next thing you know, they're gone. They're playing with their fire trucks and they're climbing on your back, and who else know what else, you know, who knows what else they're doing, right? But at least they understand that, right? They understand that dad or mom, this is their prayer rug. This is the area. They come here and they pray every now and then. They make wudu, you know, and they understand what wudu. Wudu is kind of fun for kids. They love playing with water. So, you know, that's usually a highlight for them. But after all, they'll understand. They'll go into that. But what I wanted to actually focus on is that, not the prayer, but look what else Luqman alayhi salam says. He says, join what's right. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The one thing as a the default nature of a Muslim is that we're natural activists, right? Yeah, we pray, alhamdulillah, right? We fast, we read Quran. That's great. Okay, that gives our foundation. But what do we do from that foundation? We grow out of that, right? Things grow out of that foundation, right? And just like our roots of a plant, the branches. And so some of the branches is that we command good and we wanha anil munkar and forbid evil. So he tells his son, okay, alhamdulillah, you're praying, but no, you have a greater role in life. Yes, I want you to read Quran, I want you to memorize it, I want you to fast, but you actually have to better the society, okay? It's not just keep to yourself. Islam is not about that. But to better your society, command good, help out, right? If you see something wrong, speak out against injustice, education system, right? About, you know, helping the poor, humanitarian efforts. If it's healthcare, find a niche, right? Something that you're passionate about and get involved in it, okay? And that is what a Muslim does. A Muslim does not just focus on their own self. That is a basis. That's why he said, first start with salah. Make sure you understand what your spirituality is, what your grounding is, and then command good and forbid evil. And that's why sometimes we see Muslims that may be in positions of, you know, congressmen and senators and governors and councilman and councilwoman, right? And we're like, all right, vote for this person, vote for that person. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, that's good. We have a Muslim in these positions. But if they're not grounded, sometimes we look and we see these Muslims are in these positions. And we're like, hold on, why are they doing that? Like, why are they dressing this way? Why are they involved in these type of activities, right? That's not what a Muslim does. And that is sometimes the issue, is that they're not grounded in what in their spirituality. And understanding who their identity is, right? First and foremost. And that's why the salah is there. So he goes back to Luqman alayhi salam's points of advice here. So command good and forbid evil. Your kids should know this. They should be involved in civics, right? Some type of activity. And that's you as a parent. You have to make sure, once again, that you are involved in that, right? You take them to a homeless feeding. You take them to the city council meetings, right? You take them to the parent association at school that you are involved in. They see that your mom and dad are involved also in society. They're volunteering. They're doing this. They're doing that, right? And then what does Luqman alayhi salam say after that? He says, "Wasbir ala ma asabak," and have patience of what afflicts you. And here, look, if you look at the arrangement of the verses, start with salah. Get your foundation down first, right? Get your spirituality down. Know who you are. Then command good and forbid evil. And then he tells them that have patience. Number three, have patience on what befalls you. Because the thing is, once you have your spirituality and once you start commanding good and forbidding evil, guess what? You're going to run into people that don't want to listen to your advice. You're going to run into people that keep on wanting to do evil. And you're going to run into people that don't care about commanding good and they're only looking out for their own selves. So have patience. What might afflict you, that trouble might come your way. This is dunya, right? This is what's going to happen. Not everyone's going to agree with you. Not everyone wants to do what's right, if you will. Some people are just going to be selfish and want to make money and look out for their own self and not care about the poor or not care about this minority group or not care about whatever the case may be. So have patience with that. And that's what he's setting his son up with. He's teaching them basically the facts of life, as they say, right? Some skills that you're going to need as you go on through life, right? Inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. And that is of the matters of strong determination. that's going to need, you're going to require strong determination to do so, right? In your salah, right? Personal things, commanding good, forbidding evil, that's outer. And with all that, you're going to get some affliction there. Okay? And then he goes on the next verse here, where he says, وَلَا تُصَعِدْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبَّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Okay, one thing is that we know as parents, we want our kids to be smart, go to school, right? Get this grade, be in this activity. He's, alhamdulillah, he's in the baseball team. He's doing, you know, martial arts. He's in this organization. He's in that activity. We love our kids to get kind of busy and learn all these type of things. That's great. But one thing there, Luqman is also going to teach his kids, and he's telling us as parents what we need to do. And he says, what? Do not turn your cheek in contempt to people. You know when you say, like, you turn around, you're like, you despise people, kind of like an act of despisement. When you look at somebody and like, kind of roll your eyes or look away, right? Because what, you think that what? You're better. You know, arrogance, right? Pride, okay? I come this, my mom drives this car, right? You have the car that you drive. You're not as good as me. And one thing about kids, they love competition, which is good. We teach them that, right? During this sports team, during martial arts, during this, math competition, whatever the case may be. Well, that's fine. That's good. Alhamdulillah, they're competing for good things, not bad things. But what happened naturally with children is they want to be better with other people. And so what happens, that sometimes comes out as arrogance. Sometimes it comes out of pride. So Luqman alayhi salam is telling his son that don't be arrogant. Don't be pride. Don't look down on people. Don't scorn people away, right? Don't look down and think that you're better, right? Don't turn your cheek in contempt to other people. He's telling them what character and mannerism. And sometimes, alhamdulillah, we have kids that are extremely smart and they're active in this and they did that, they done this, but their character could be totally different. And that's one thing here, you have to have that balance. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And do not walk through the earth exaltedly, boastfully, that I'm better than this person, not better than that person. Look what city I live in. Look what city the other kids live in, right? Look what my dad does for a job. Look what your dad does for a job. Right, we know this. And those who have kids, especially when you get to high school, middle school, and even elementary, right, that becomes a sign of a little, a chip on your shoulder of what your parents do, how big your house is compared to other kids' houses, right? What neighborhood you live in. Are you in an apartment building? Oh, we have a house. We don't live in an apartment. Okay. And so this is natural. And so here he's teaching his child to be humble. Don't be prideful. Don't be arrogant. And character is something very hard to teach kids because they don't necessarily understand that. Emotions and feelings and so forth and how to handle that is something that might be quite new to them. Depends on what age your children are. Mine is, 4 and 2. So it takes, teaching them to not be prideful and just to share is that is something that, subhanAllah, that takes a lot of work, just how to share and, care for others, if you will, right? Right. And then look what he says. Inna Allah. Now he goes back to Allah. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. And then say, dad doesn't like those people who are self-deluded and boastful. Mommy doesn't like those who are boastful, right? Don't be boastful. Don't be, this. No, daddy doesn't like that. Mama doesn't like that. Yeah, you could say that. That's good. Alhamdulillah. So they understand what you want as a parent. But look what he says. He's, as a father, he says, Allah doesn't like that. And one thing is that is when you as a parent and you tell your children to do something, like, listen to me, right? Right? That's, you're showing like I'm the authority, right? And here when you say that Allah doesn't like that, now you're teaching your child that there's authority above mama and dada, right? Even mommy and daddy, they make sure that they are not boastful and prideful. They are trying to command good and forbid evil. They also answer to a higher authority, right? And when they see that, they're like, okay, it's not just like we have to follow rules and mommy and daddy could do what they want. No. But is that all of us are creators, our creation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one thing with kids that when you teach them that, is that there is another authority that mommy and daddy also looks up to and also follows. And they also do this. Then it kind of seems like a team effort, right? It's not just you're playing the authoritative role, but it's something that we also are trying to, and we're basically practicing what we preach. And one thing that you will see as parents, one of the best things that you can do is practice what you preach. If you tell the kids not be messy, but then you throw your clothes on the bed and you don't hang them up and the shoes are all over the garage because that's how you throw them, then you're not, you know, it's not really, it's not making that connection with the children. Believe me, they'll call you out. You know, you have those who have kids know the kids are very smart, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, right? But they'll say, you know, mommy and daddy, you don't do this. Look how you throw your clothes. And we can't say, oh, I'm mommy, I'm daddy, I can do that. Well, you can't do that. You have to put your Legos away. You know, obviously that's a different thing. Yeah, you can definitely tell I have smaller kids. You know, all my examples are maybe different than if you have teens or tweens or those who are in a, you know, elementary and so forth. But, you know, it's all a relative in terms of whatever age your children are. So that's one thing here we can highlight from these verses of Surah Luqman. That's chapter number 31. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Surah Fusilat, right? Now moving on to chapter number 41. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Surah Fusilat talks about something very super duper interesting. And it's a great lesson for us as we are now ending, coming to the end of Ramadan, right? And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for letting us be able to see these 27 days so far in this blessed month of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to see the end of it and make us exit out of the month of Ramadan as those who are forgiven of our sins. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So one thing here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in these ayat, where he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed those who say that our Lord is Allah, obviously Muslims, right? Those who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then remain on the right course. Here the word in Arabic, if you follow the Arabic here, in the verse here, it's istiqama. But thumma istiqamu, right? From the word istiqama, right? And istiqama means to be straightforward, means to be consistent, right? To mean that you're established. You have istiqama. You have maqam, and you have iqama on something. You don't move away from it. You're always doing it, right? I have istiqama on my salah. Like, I'm always trying to fulfill that, right? It's something I do like a ritual thing. Something I do as a routine thing, right? It's scheduled in, okay? I have istiqama and going to work at a certain time, right? I show up there at 7:30, at 8:30, right? Someone that's consistent on the schedule. So whoever says that Allah is our Lord and has this taqama and has this, you know, this establishment on it, right, on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's not just those who say Allah is my Lord. Allah is my Lord. All right, that's me. Okay. No. You say Allah is your Lord, meaning that you acknowledge Allah is your Lord, right? That's the first part. But you're following, you're trying to follow all those things that your Lord, Allah, has prescribed for us. Right, of course, Allah is a big one, right? Commanding good, forbidding evil, being good to our parents, all those good things, right? And then what do these people who are consistently on it, alhamdulillah, it's not just a fad. They don't do it sometimes, they don't do it, not, you know, some, they pray every now and then, they'll go to Juma, they don't do this, etc. No, alhamdulillah, they're keeping themselves on this course, right? What happens to them? تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مُلَائِكَ. The angels will descend on them. Angels are coming down on them. And angels are a sign of blessings, of barakah. Angels don't come down for any other more reason than that. I mean, there's maybe other things we could talk about. There's the angel of death, obviously. But here, talking about angels of rahmah and mercy that are coming down. And when the angels descend on this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what the angels are saying. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. Don't have fear and do not be sad. Right? The angels are telling, the angels are advising us in this, right? And abshiru, and have great tidings. You have good news coming your way. I got some good news to break to you. What news do you have for me, right? Bil Jannah. Jannah is going to be for you. Paradise, seriously? I've been working hard for this, seriously? And you're going to give me that reward? Allati kuntum tu'adun. That which you were promised. Yeah, you read those verses in the Quran. You said if you fast and you pray and you make hajj and give zakat, believe in Allah, then you get Jannah, right? And of course, you follow all everything else we have in the Quran. You do these things, that you're going to get Jannah. It's not just a fairy tale. And here, then, you're going to be promised this. And what the the best thing is that when you look on this verse here and you look at the tafsir of it, the explanation of what are these verses, when are these angels going to be sent down? But inshallah ta'ala, all of us hopefully are, you know, we're believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously. And we're trying to have that istiqamah. It's not just in Ramadan, right? It's not just on Jummah, on Fridays. It's not just on when we go to the masjid. And after we leave the parking lot, we are some other person. But we have this, you know, commitment to our Lord, right? We're going to keep ourselves and fast and push away all those other things that we shouldn't be doing until we enter the grave as much as possible. We're going to slip every now and then. That's not an issue. That's going to happen. But we're going to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's going to be some bumps on the road, right? But when is this moment going to happen? And the scholars in the tafsir, they talk about this is talking about at the time of the moment of someone's death, when someone is leaving this world. And I don't know about you, if you ever see and witness somebody passing away, it's definitely something that's traumatized, something that just sticks in the head. It doesn't leave you, okay? And, you know, that person could be in multiple different situations. But here is that's always, we all know it's a tough time, right? Alhamdulillah, Allah takes the life of certain people in a very beautiful manner. But, you know, usually sometimes it's, you know, if it's in a hospital, there's alarms going off and the monitor is doing this and the doctors are coming in, nurses are rushing into the room, right? It can be quite chaotic. There could be pain that person might be going through. All these different things might be going through the mind. And we all, you know, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a good ending and make it very easy for us. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. But at that time, we can put the default rule is that we'll love great, you know, good news at that time. We will love some assistance at that time. We know we have to leave this world. We're not going to live forever. But when that time comes, it'll be great to have some assistance. And the scholars said that this time, these angels will descend at the time of moment of someone's death. And what did the first thing they say? Do not have fear and do not be sad. Hold on, what do you mean? Don't have fear. Don't have fear of what? The scholars mean that your life is coming to the end. We all know what big question that all of us are going to be asking ourselves. Is it Jannah or Jahannam? Is what is going to happen? Is it punishment happening? Like, where am I going to go? It's going to be dark. And right? You're scared. It's going to have fear. But the angels say, no, don't have fear. And don't be sad. Don't be sad of what? Look at all the family members you have around you in that bed. That's sitting right next to you. Could be your wife. Could be your children. Could be your parents. Right? Your brother, your sister. You have all these people that you know, friends, family. And you're leaving them. And especially as a, you know, as parents, you want to leave your children, you want to leave your offspring in the best way possible. You know, all that you've been there for, you want to support them. And so you're leaving, and so you're sad that I can't be there to see their marriage and see the grandchildren or help them in this or help them in that. You've been doing that your whole life. But the angel said, no, don't be sad. We'll take care of them. Allah has sent us down for a reason. And we'll help them out. Don't worry. You've been helping them out. Our assistance will be there. Alhamdulillah, you have a great insurance package there. And the angels are coming down. And talking about a life insurance, this is a beautiful life insurance package. But who is it for, right? Who is this for? For those who believe in Allah and have istiqamah. And we're just a couple of days away from this end of Ramadan. And we've been praying. We've been reading the Quran. What's going to happen in next week? What's going to happen in the month of Shawwal, the month after Ramadan? What's going to happen the next following week and into June and into July, right? Are we going to have that istiqamah? Of course, you can't fast all 30 days. You can't read as much Quran as you. That's a special thing. But there's still going to be some type of regular routine that we're going to hopefully, inshallah, definitely continue. Definitely our salah. We're not going to abandon that. That five times a day, we're going to get that done, right? And inshallah, we're going to try to keep up and doing that sadaqah and helping others and, you know, making sure we don't say anything wrong. We're fasting. We don't want to argue. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. That has to, istiqamah has to be there. Like I said, we're going to slip up. We might forget, but there has to be some type of consistency. And for that, oh, you have a great reward, my dear brothers and sisters. You have a great guarantee, a great life insurance plan if you're able to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send down these angels, right, at that time of our death. Who doesn't want that? But obviously, this is a great reward. And of course, it's only going to be there for those who have this istiqamah. But and they will say, don't, and the angels will say, do not be sad, and do not fear, do not be sad, and have glad tidings of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Wa abshiru bil Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that what? That good news of Jannah that we've been waiting for, that we've been working so hard for. Who doesn't want that? Subhanallah. That's a great way to leave this world. And I know I had one friend that was talking about his mom was very sick, and she was in the hospital, and she was on her back, and she was having a lot of pain, and you know, she was in and out, a coma, you know, waking up, maybe drowsy, not really there. You know, this kind of common case where a lot of people are towards the end of their life, especially if they're on certain medicines and, you know, in the hospital, they're not, you know, alert and they're not really talking. It could be the quite opposite picture too. And he said that his mom was basically in the state, and, you know, she wasn't waking up and we can't really talk to her. And all of a sudden, he said that she rose up and looked at all her children, right? And smiled at them and just laid back, and she, and her life was taken right there. And I was like, subhanAllah, and I was going over this verse, you know, and I was like, I wonder, like, you know, subhanAllah, was that the moment right there? Like, you know, obviously we're not going to see those angels, but maybe those that is the ones who is just leaving this world, they can see that at that moment. You know, Allah SWT gave him that, you know, gave her that bashara, gave her that good tidings, you know, like, you know, this got great news for you. I'm going to break it to you that the angels are here, and they're going to take care of your children and so forth. And subhanAllah, she passed away in this moment. And we know, alhamdulillah, now people have a lot of stories of how seeing people pass away in the state. But this is something here. It's for those who have istiqamah and those who are still worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside of Ramadan. And that's a great motivation for us, my dear brothers and sisters, as we're ending Ramadan, you know, within, you know, a couple of days now, that what are we doing, you know, on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, the next week? How are we going to be? And inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the istiqamah and make us of those who have the glad tidings of Jannah and seeing the angels at that time and telling us not to have fear and not to be sad. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Shura. Surah Shura is a very beautiful surah, subhanAllah. Very, very good. Great advice in the surah. A lot of different verses you can benefit from. One thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a beautiful lesson that we have. You know, one thing is, all of us, it's kind of like the nature of human beings that we want more. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us, you know, sustenance, and Allah give us, you know, funds, give us money so we could go to college and send our children to college, that we could, you know, for an apartment, that we could get our own home, we can move into this place, we can move into that place to get this car, all these different things. Especially when we get a job, right? We want this type of salary. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to move on to another company, you know, I'll get more, you know, this much more X money. Sometimes we're in a rat race, we keep on moving to jobs, trying to hop in, or business ideas, as we're trying to get as much, you know, wealth as possible, so we can do so much different things, if you will, right? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a different picture about the reasons why sometimes those du'as and the wealth and sustenance that maybe that we're asking for doesn't come our way, and for a certain reason. And the thing is, the way we're trained in this world is that, no, more money is always better. What are you talking about? If someone's going to give you a job for $100,000, okay, you know, and someone's going to give you $100,000, and someone's going to give you $60,000, go for the $100,000, right? It's not even really a question, okay? If someone's going to give you more money, they always keep on chasing after the dollars that are falling down from the sky right there, okay? Just follow where that is. And that's kind of what the way the capitalism and our society teaches us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different outtake in terms of the money that we ask for and what we should get. How is it given out? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Shura here, which says, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِي يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if Allah has increased the provisions of for his servants, right, his worshipers, he's not talking about the disbelievers. He said, li'ibadihi, right? We understood that it's all creation. We understand that those who worship him, okay, they would have committed tyranny, corruption, baghaw, yani bagha, right? Corruption, tyranny throughout the earth. But he sends it down in amount that he wills. Biqadarin, yani just a certain amount, a measure, right? A certain portion that he wills. Indeed, he and of his, indeed he is of his service acquainted and all seen. Allah SWT is khabir, not kabir. Kabir means big, but khabir means like well acquainted, knowledge of exactly of everyone's situation. Allahu Akbar. That's interesting. Allah SWT uses that this name for himself in this verse. Because Allah SWT is saying to us, my dear brothers and sisters, that yes, you want more money. Yes, you want the Tesla. Yes, you want the house in Irvine. Yes, you want to have this and you want to have that. Right? But Allah SWT says that if you would give you this more money, sometimes people would what? Will be corrupt. People would waste it. People were spending in a manner that's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's better that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just takes it, only give you a certain portion. So you spend in a way that's pleasing to Allah. You're not wasting and you're not becoming prideful. But Allah knows that if he will give you all that wealth, oh yeah, you're not driving the Corolla anymore. Oh no, you're not driving the Camry anymore. Oh no, heck no. Not the Nissan Maxima, even though it's perfectly fine, gives you no trouble. Great resale value. The Camry gets you from point A to point B, has good mileage, safe, but you want the BMW. Why? I'll probably get you there. Yeah, but it's faster, has better engine. The speed limit is still 65, brother. You can't, it doesn't matter. If it go 5,000 miles per hour, you're not going to be able to use it. Definitely not in a safe manner. Okay? Right? But it's nice that I have a BMW when I drive into my work, when I drive into the masjid, when I drive into my family, it sets a tone, it sets a different sign. Hey, exactly. We don't want you to have a heart like that. We don't want you to be prideful like that. We don't want you, that's going to corrupt you. Now you're thinking you're better than other people. Stick to the Camry. Stick to the Corolla. Right? Stick to the Altima and the Maxima. That alhamdulillah is doing the job and it's keeping you humble. But if that money will come in your hand, now you got those nice watches. Now you're wearing the designer suits. Now you're not just wearing just other shoes. You got the nice, leather ones for X amount more. Then now it's making your foot all hurt, but it looks, it gave you a bunch of, give me a bunch of pain, but know it, it's making you look good as you think it is. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you would give out wealth to certain servants, they would not use it in the right way. They baghaw, they'll have tyranny. They'll call fasad into earth. And sometimes we see that, especially in our Muslim world, some of our Muslim countries are more well off than the other ones. Are they have more charity? Are they still living in a smaller house? Are they still driving the regular car? No. They got palaces here and palaces there on the beach and on the here. And what? They're calling corruption in the earth. Well, one thing we could talk about those leaders, but no, you want to talk a lesson for me and you, right? We could talk about them all day long. We all agree. Inshallah, ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them guidance and hopefully they read these verses and they take heed to it. But one thing we could talk about me and you, because that's what's happening right now. We're in front of each other here. We could just do something that benefit ourselves, right? Because we're the ones listening right now. Is that we have to understand that whatever wealth we have, yes, you can ask Allah for more, but be content with what you have right now, because yes, maybe you wanted to have something else. And that's hard. If you're an apartment, man, I want to get a house, man. How can that be wrong, et cetera? Well, maybe that might get you into a mortgage that has riba and interest, and you don't want that. So better, alhamdulillah, you got your apartment. It might be a little tight and, small. You might not have the backyard you want, et cetera. And that's tough. I understand. That's not an easy thing, But you know what? Alhamdulillah, might be saving you for something that is much greater in sin. And inshallah, you'll get the grand palace in Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. Will you live there for a very long time? There's no lease for X amount of years. It's not forever, right? And then now you'll be saying, alhamdulillah, I'm glad I made those decisions. Well, Allah put you in that way to make that decision, alhamdulillah. So we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said that this ayah came down to some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They call them Ahlul Sufa. They were poor individuals that used to live in the masjid. And what happened, they saw the wealth of the people in Medina. some of the Jewish tribes in Medina were very wealthy. And the eyes started getting big. You know, my mom would say, the eyes started getting big. They want this. And they want that. Oh, look what this over here. Look what these people have. And so what happens is that it corrupts their heart. And that's why I always tell people, like, you know, those who have nice fancy cars, alhamdulillah, that's great. May Allah, alhamdulillah, bless you with that. And bless you with a nice house. Is that be careful when you're driving that around to other people. And that house and you're inviting people over. That's good. You want to invite people over. Alhamdulillah. It's good to be hospitable. But you could also be corrupting other people's hearts that way. Another thing, you might be causing other people to have hasad, envy, and be jealous of you. So be careful of that. But now you might have opened people's eyes where they're like, wow, I want a granite tops on my kitchen, right? I want this tile. I want a patio. I want this. I want that. I want white cabinets in my kitchen, even though we have regular ones that are fine. But what happened is that, I guess, you know, this brings up issues in sometimes in families and spouses. Because you know what, hey, this person grabbed that car, that person gave that to his wife, and why don't you give it to me? And that's what happens. So here's that, you know what, we have an effect on each other here, so be very careful for that. That's maybe another side lesson from what's being spoken here in the verse here. The next surah that I want to go over, highlight, is Surah Hujurat. Surah Hujurat, subhanAllah, right? Chapter number 49 in the Quran. Surah Hujurat, subhanAllah, we could take all this rest of the time and tomorrow and the next day after that to go over the lessons of Surah Hujurat. Surah Hujurat is great for talking about mannerism, talking about character, how we should act, how should we treat each other, if you will. There's a lot of great verses on that to highlight and go over. But what I want to do is to highlight verse number 12, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا جَتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا وَأَتُحِبُّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَتَكَرِحْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off this verse by saying, O you who believe, O you Muslims, right? There's a certain mannerism that you need to follow. Allah says, stay away, ijtanibu, right? Ijtiba is what? Stay away, ijtinab. So ijtinab is to stay away from assumption. From what negative assumption? Kathira mina one. And that sometimes assumption is a sin. To have a negative assumption of people could be sinful. Wait, hold on, let's start right here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's basically trying to make sure as us, as brothers and sisters, families, you know, community members, that we have good relations with each other. That the ummah is functioning. We have a good community, right? And that's very important to have a well-functioning society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, trying to cut out any corruption in the heart, any type of hasad and jealousy and envy and hatred, trying to cut out the root of that. And usually if that starts with what? Having bad negative assumptions of people. Bad thoughts about people. So Allah says, stay away from those negative thoughts. This brother, you know, I think he, you know, he does this. That, you know, he has this, he's this type of person. You know, he's not very friendly. Oh, you know, he has this type of business. And then he treats his wife this way. Right? He barely comes to the masjid. He doesn't pray. Right? Don't watch out for negative things that come in our head about other people. The default that we should have amongst each other, my dear brothers and sisters, is that if they're Muslim, alhamdulillah, they're good. If we find out they don't pray, they don't do this, and may Allah guide them, you know, we make dua for them, but we shouldn't hate them, we shouldn't despise them. Okay? We used to, maybe one of us, we used to be like that, you know, at one time. Right? And so here is that, alhamdulillah, it's a brother Ahmed, alhamdulillah, good person. Sister Fatima, alhamdulillah, good person, right? Don't have any bad thoughts, because when you start having a bad thought, then things start turning. Shaitan starts working on that. How does he work on that? In the ba'du dhani itham, that sometimes bad thinking of people is sinful. How can bad thinking of people be sinful? I thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't take us to what thoughts we have in our head, but what actions we do. Because sometimes bad thoughts happen in our head. If you think bad about somebody, we want to do something to somebody, but no, we don't. So here we're not getting, you know, we're not, you know, being accountable for what those thoughts in our head. But Allah SWT says that sometimes bad thoughts become sinful. How is that? Guess what? We see a person. He didn't say salams to us. He walked by us. So start thinking about, oh, what he thinks he's better than us? Who is this guy? Who is this person? Right? I'm sitting here, and you know, he's new to the community, right? He's the one that should say salams to me, right? He should know. He's younger than me. I'm older than him. So what happened? Oh, this person. I'm not a good person. You know, I doesn't talk to much people. I always see them, comes here, does this, but doesn't, not very friendly. So guess what? Next thing you know, the person's right, walking next, coming up to you. What are you going to do? You're going to say, Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? No. You're going to say, not going to say anything to them. Now guess what? That bad thought in your head is turning to what? Actions, right? It's turning to actions now. That now you're treating them bad. Which could be what? It could be sinful. Now is that little thoughts that you had in your head about this person because you judged them for this and you judged them for that. Then guess what? Now you're the way you treat them now is coming out. And now yourself now is changing in the way how you act. So now because of that thought, that some thoughts could be what's sinful. And what happened? وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا And do not spy, right? Don't spy on people. You might see somebody, right? You have that bad thought about that person, right? This person doesn't give me, you know, salams, whatever. So you start walking behind them. Who are they? Who's your children? Is that his wife there? What car are they driving? Right? And next thing you know, you end up spying on them, right? You know, sometimes you see somebody like, fundraiser, people not raising their hand. Like, why is the guy donating? Subhanallah, why do they do this? Come on, raise your hand, whatever. Right? This person's always there. Gets a reminder, but doesn't do this. So next thing you know, he wants to say, hold on, what kind of car do they drive? Oh, wow, he drives a Mercedes? Why do they do this? Why do they do that? So what happens? Guess what? You start wanting to know more about that person. Next thing you know, you go on Google, put that person's name in. Go to Facebook, put that person's name in. Let me see the profile picture. Let me see who they are. What jobs do the list that they do? And now you're spying on them. Now you're trying to find out about them. And who are they? Right? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Yeah, do they have any videos of them? Who are their friends? Right? What are they posting? Now you're going even deeper now. Now you're spending worthless time now, you know, looking up people's information. And when you find something, and if you find something, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا And don't backbite. Next thing you know, you might find a picture of him at this party, or this person doing this. Or look at him, he's at this vacation this way. And look what he's dressed this way. Look at that sister. Look, she doesn't wear hijab. I saw the mustard. Oh, look, I saw this picture on Facebook about her. Next thing you know, you go to someone, yeah, you know what? She does this. She does that. Yeah, see how she doesn't have salams? Yeah, but don't worry about her. She doesn't even wear hijab. She doesn't want to do this. And now guess what? Now you're backbiting. You see how shaitan works on a person? Because of that bad thought, it turns into what? It turns into making sin, treating them differently. It turns into what? Finding more about their personal life. Tajassasu, right? Who are they married on? Where do they work? What city do they live in? What do they do? And then guess what? It turns into backbiting. Now the whole domino effect happens now. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to you in this verse right here. How beautiful it is, right? Not backbiting is beautiful, but how Allah is beautiful. Allah lays it out so beautifully to show you how all things kind of relate to each other. That's why Allah says stop with right at the beginning when in terms of bad thoughts. Because if you just stop right there, then you won't have trouble down the line, right? You won't have trouble down the line where you turn to backbiting. And backbiting is one of the major sins that scholars have said. It's up there with stealing. It's up there with fornication. It's up there with like lying and you know, taking people's wealth. That's, you know, it's a major, it's not like a small thing. أَتُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلْ لَحْمَ الْأَخِيهِ Would you like to eat the flesh of your own brother? You would dislike that. That is like backbiting, right? That's why I have the word biting in it, as if you're biting into the back of a person, okay? You know, that you're like almost, you're eating their flesh. Allah says it right there, like you eat the flesh of the person. And so like, who would want to do that? You never want to do something like that. So don't talk about other people, and especially in a negative, condescending way or negative manner, right? And if they would hear about it, they would dislike it. And this is the definition of backbiting that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that backbiting is there's something about somebody, even if it's true, that they will dislike that you're talking about it. You know, that person, he's only 4'10". He's like super short. And then if you would find out, like, yeah, I know I am 4'10", I'm short, but like, why are you bringing, like, you know, why are you saying that about me for? Right? Well, you are short. I'm like, duh, yeah, you know? Oh, you are overweight. Or you do drive this car. Like everyone sees, you drive this car, right? And you know, you spend that much money on it. You could have done other things, but it's right there. I'm not backbiting you. No, you are. You 100% are. If that person doesn't want you to talk about their car and how much they spent on it, or how much their house is, and what if they pulled out a loan or not, right? They don't want you to discuss their loan to the other person. And that this person got it from this bank and didn't get it through an Islamic bank, right? Then don't talk about it. Right? If that person would not like it, then that means that is backbiting, even if it's true. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that if you're saying something about somebody and it's not true, right? No, I don't have a loan from that bank. Who told you that I had a loan from that bank? I didn't do it. I had it from an Islamic company. I went this way. He said, if you say something that's not true about somebody, that's worse. That's called buhtan. That's called slander. Right? That's that's more evil. That's more sinful, right? That you're not even verifying the information, but you're talking about it to someone else. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right, it's almost like that you eat the flesh of your own brother. Wattaqullah. Have God consciousness. Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you act. And think and check yourself and would Allah be happy that I'm saying this about this person? Would Allah be happy that I have this thought about this other person, right? You know, don't be very careful of that. And the thing is, especially in our world today with a lot of social media, we see people post things about their family and their own self, and sometimes only all good things. And that's it. You know, many people have spoken about this, that social media is only people posting things about their achievements and their family trips and what they're doing in quarantine, and they're having family dinners and they're doing this and they're doing that, and they got this job, they got that job. But they don't post when they, you know, are feeling depressed or feeling sad, or that, you know, they didn't do good, you know, their project failed at work, right? So then what happened is that when you do that, you're opening the door for people could sometimes, you know, speak bad about them or have this thought and so forth. But the thing is that when we see this, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, people are going to post what they all want to post about, but we should all have good thoughts about people, whatever they might be showing themselves online, all right? And whether you dislike it or not, you know, that you could choose whether to befriend someone or not to befriend someone. That's something else, right? But in here is that we should not speak about something that the other person will not be happy that we are talking about. So some great lessons here, definitely some gems that we could talk about. This is my last verse. The last thing I wanted to mention really quick is from Surah Zukhruf. Surah Zukhruf talks about something that's going to happen at the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that one of the signs of the end of this world is the return of Jesus, peace be upon him. And that's not just from the hadith, but it's mentioned in a verse of the Quran here. As most of some of the scholars have mentioned, that this verse is talking about Jesus, peace be upon him, and not talking about the day of judgment in general, right? There is some tafsir scholars and some opinions that this verse is not talking about Jesus, peace be upon him. But there is definitely a lot of scholars I've mentioned, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, and other Sahaba and Tabi'een, and those generations that came after the Sahaba, that the scholars have mentioned, they're of the opinion that this verse is talking about Jesus. What is that verse? Allah subhanahu says, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Jesus, indeed it will be a sign, a knowledge of the sa'ah, of the hour of the day of judgment, the end of the world, right? And there is no doubt about it. but follow me and have a straight path, follow the straight way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this Surah Zukhruf here, verse 61, if you read the verses before, 60, 59, 58, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Jesus, peace be upon him, and some other facts about him. So this, in the context, is speaking about Jesus, peace be upon him. And so here is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he will be a sign, right? Will be a knowledge for the end of the world to come. And as the scholars mentioned that in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, that Jesus, peace be upon him, is a second major sign of the sign of the Day of Judgment. Number one is a false messiah, the Dajjal, the Antichrist. This individual has been described as having one eye. That'll go around the world and he will deceive people. He'll kill someone, he'll bring them back to life by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then large people would follow him and he will cause a lot of corruption all throughout the earth. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that if you were there at that time and you would see him, you will run away. You wouldn't want to try to confront him at all. Don't say, I'm a Muslim, I'll take you on. No. And then the second sign is the return of Jesus, peace be upon him, that he will come back. We all know the main Muslim belief is that he did not die on the cross, but Allah brought him up, as is mentioned in Surah Ma'idah and Surah Nisa, etc. And what that he will be coming back to die as all human beings do, and that he will come back on the earth. And some of the hadith mentioned that he'll come down in the lands of Damascus or Syria on a white minaret with water dripping from his hair, and that he would follow in the army of the Mahdi, the promised, or the Mahdi is the guided Muslim leader at that time. And that Jesus, peace be upon him, one of his main roles in the army of the Mahdi is to kill the Dajjal, that he would kill him in the areas of Palestine, as I mentioned in some of the hadith here. And then after that, after the Dajjal is killed, then there is a releasing of Yahjuj and Mahjuj, where they are the fourth sign, or the number three, they're the third sign, right? You have the Dajjal, Isa, and then Yahjuj and Mahjuj, and the Gog and Magog, and they will come from every angle around, and they'll cover the whole earth and cause corruption and kill people left and right. And Jesus, peace be upon him, since we're speaking about him, he will take the community of the believers up into a mountain and say, come here, hide in the mountain that we cannot confront Gog and Magog. And even Jesus, peace be upon him, at that time is afraid to take them on, right? It's too much. He can't handle it. And then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down animals, as mentioned, or insects that will come down and bite at the necks of Gog and Magog, these people that are that's been hidden away for so long, and that they will all die. And then Jesus, peace be upon him, will come out with the believers, and there will be bliss on earth for a good amount of time. So this is one of the reasons why Jesus, peace be upon him, will come back, and this is one of the signs of when he does come back. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, mentioned that these 10 major signs are like like pearls on a necklace, if you will, right? If they break out, they all kind of just rush out, right? They don't just drop one by one, right? If you break the thread, they'll just fall out really quick, right? Almost like water coming out of a cup, right? It just flows right out. The signs will follow each other really, really quickly, okay? And so, of course, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, has not come back yet, and has not appeared yet, but he will be a sign later on. If those are some false, you know, signs that people have said that Jesus did come back and it's this person or that person, and obviously these are people who are false prophets and other things. So that's one thing I wanted to highlight here. Of course, the Day of Judgment, everyone's very curious to know these signs and what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention about it. Of course, with the whole coronavirus, people want to know, was coronavirus one of the signs of the Day of Judgment? When we understand that it's not definitely one of the 10 that was mentioned, unless you do it in a very metaphorical way and try to extrapolate that these are one of the signs. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't mention that disease will take over the world or anything like this from the 10 signs that are mentioned in Sahih Muslim in this one long hadith here. But it's definitely a sign for us to reflect on. And Allahu Alam, when the Day of Judgment will occur and when Jesus appears upon him will occur. As the Prophet said that, I do not have a sign, I do not have any information on it, But Jesus, peace be upon him, does know that he has to come back. There is, and maybe I'll end on this as I have 5 minutes here, is that during the time of Isra and Mi'raj, when the Prophet ﷺ went up to the heavens, or went up to the skies, I should say, and to the different levels in the sky, and there's a hadith that's mentioned in Ibn Majah, in his compilation of a hadith, where it's mentioned that when the Prophet ﷺ was going through the different levels of the sky on the night journey of Isra and Mi'raj, and when he was going up, he met different prophets. And they said that there was a meeting, very interesting, there was a meeting between the Prophet ﷺ, Ibrahim ﷺ, Jesus, peace be upon him, and Ibrahim ﷺ, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, Ibrahim, Jesus, and I believe Musa ﷺ were there. Imagine that. Like, these are like the all-stars of the all-stars of the world, right? Some people talk about this basketball player and this basketball, they meet together and they have a meeting. What were they talking about? That's nothing. We're talking about the Prophet ﷺ meeting up with Ibrahim alayhi salam, meeting with Jesus peace be upon him, meeting with Musa alayhi salam, sitting down conversating. Subhanallah, right? I wish this is eavesdrop and see what are they talking about, just to be close to these, icons in humanity, in our history of mankind, and noble prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected. And so in the hadith, it mentioned that they were talking about the day of judgment. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I don't have any signs of it. And Musa alayhi salam said, I have no knowledge of it. And then Jesus, peace be upon him, says that, I do. And I know that I will be sent back and I will kill the Dajjal. Meaning that Jesus, peace be upon him, knows that this is the reason why he'll be sent back. He's full aware of it, right? And when he does come back, as I mentioned before, this will be his main role he would do in his world, in this world. And some say that he will live on the earth for 7 years, and then he will die a natural death, right, after all this stuff occurs. So Allahu alam of when that time will happen and all the other details are mentioned there, but this won't be new from some hadith literature there. So alhamdulillah, this is the end of the verses that I wanted to highlight in our time that we had in these four sessions that we had in this beautiful month of Ramadan. We know we have a couple of days left. Definitely, my dear brothers and sisters, you're reading a lot of Quran. One thing advice I could leave you with is to do exactly what we're doing here. The Quran has so much guidance in it, so much blessings in it. You don't necessarily need to read all the verses and understand all of them. Then you say, okay, now I have guidance. If you do, that's amazing. You have much more than guidance. It's just, you have definitely an amazing amount of knowledge. But you see here, it's just one or two verses. If you just ponder on it, it can make a big change in your life, right? It's sometimes just one verse that just hits the heart, and that's it. Yeah, you that's it. You got the hint. I'm not missing another prayer again. No, I'm not, my anger is not going to be an issue again, right? I'm not going to treat people this way. And I'm finally going to give out and make sure those who donate, I understand now, right? I just wasn't thinking, I just needed that verse to kind of, boom, hit the heart. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that some people read the Quran, it doesn't penetrate their heart. And some others do, and then obviously that it has a big effect on them. And that's why I wanted to highlight these verses, so hopefully, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make one or two or three of these verses, whatever, or if not all of them, that we covered in these four sessions here, and now all of them are recorded and they're on YouTube in our ISOC Masjid channel, where you can go and you can play them back and you kind of review them and study more about them, if you will, is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let these verses penetrate our heart and to train or to change our character and to mold us in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to act. And not necessarily the way that we want to act. And not necessarily the way that we've seen other people act. And this person in this movie. And this person on this TV show. And that's what we're trying to chase after. But this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, wants us to be. And wants us to focus on this world. And inshallah ta'ala, we could do so. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Rabbil Alameen, to send you peace and blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to make us of those of Ahlul Quran, those of the people of the Quran. We ask you to make us of those who do tadabbur, to do contemplation and ponder on your verses of the Quran. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soften our heart, make your verses penetrate our heart, put nur and light in our heart, give us guidance in this world, and bless us in the hereafter, and make us of the people of Jannah, ya Kareem, ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept our Quran reading, our fasting, our prayers, our sujood, our ruku, our donations, our sadaqat, our zakat, ya kareem, ya rabbil alameen, and all the good deeds that we did in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless our parents, bless our children, bless the ummah, wherever they may be, wherever they may be suffering, protect them and bless them, ya kareem, ya rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. It's definitely an honor to be with you in these hours, these four sessions that we had every Wednesday here in this beautiful month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me if I said anything incorrect and I said anything that was misleading. And any good that came from me, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, we hope to see you back in our masjids, hopefully very soon when the time is safe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.